Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're joined by Gordon Chang, a man who graces this program each week very graciously and generously with his time. He is, of course, one of the country's preeminent authorities on matters involving Asia. He writes brilliantly on this subject, as did our previous guest at Forbes.com. He is also a blogger with World Affairs Journal. His two terrific books on these and related subjects are The Coming Collapse of China and Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, the two topics that I'm interested in talking with you about today. Gordon, welcome back. Good to have you, as always.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Let's start with the seemingly accelerating prospect of a collapse, at least of the Chinese economy and possibly other parts of this enterprise as well. There have been further shaking of the economic tree and the stock market and so on. What is your read on what's happening there, Gordon?
I think China has passed the point of no return. The crises in China are coming at shorter and shorter intervals, which really means that the leadership has lost control. Last week, the Chinese stock markets were closed down twice by the so-called circuit breaker provisions, which are meant to limit volatility, but in this case actually accelerated the selling, and is an indication that Chinese leaders just are not able to manage the financial markets. Then today, the stock markets again fell by very large amounts. There's evidence that China was trying to intervene in the offshore renminbi market in Hong Kong, which had some really bad consequences for interest rates. This is a story which is very hard to understand because it is changing by the hour. And I think essentially that although Chinese leaders can drag this out for some point, they really do not have the means to rescue their economy, which means that it will fail and it will have repercussions for the political system. But more importantly for us, it will have repercussions on Chinese external policies, which are going to get worse. And that means we're going to be in the crosshairs along with our friends and allies.
I want to talk more about that. But before I do, Gordon, just we've had a running conversation, you and I, for some time now about the renminbi and whether the ambitions of the Chinese to have it emerge as a reserve currency, which got a bit of a boost last month from the International Monetary Fund, may now be coming completely a cropper as a result of all of this turmoil. What's your read on that?
Yes, the renminbi wants to move lower because it is overvalued. It's overvalued because the Chinese government supported it for the very reason you mentioned. The Chinese leaders wanted their currency to be included in the basket for special drawing rights. Which that meant that it was essentially treated as a reserve currency. The IMF made a political decision to include the renminbi because they wanted to see China to continue to reform. But that's not what happened. What's happening right now is that China is intervening more, not less, to prop up their currency. And they have to do that because if they don't prop up their currency, which is what they were doing in the last 24 hours, then more and more money will come out of the country. In the fourth quarter of last year, Bloomberg reports that the net capital outflow was $367 billion. It was $461 billion in the third quarter, and the only reason why there was a slight decline in Q4 was because China, off the books and behind the scenes, was implementing capital controls.
Gordon, let's turn to that other piece that you've referred to and we discuss most weeks, and that is the prospect that this internal difficulty is going to translate into external aggression. Is there any further indication that that is in prospect now?
I think that there is discord in the military, which I think is going to lead Xi Jinping to try to have more provocative policies because that's good politics in the People's Republic. In the last weeks, we have seen China land a civilian aircraft at Fiery Cross Reef, which is this reclaimed feature in the Spratly Islands in the South China Sea. That triggered protests in Vietnam and in the Philippines. What we're looking at, I think, is a political system which has sort of lost its legitimacy with regard to the economy. And so the only remaining basis of legitimacy is nationalism. And that's why I think we will see more belligerent actions in the months ahead as the Chinese economy shows increasing signs of failure. You can't draw a straight line between the two, but nonetheless, as China's economy has trended down over the last 3 or 4 years, China's actions have become much worse.
You are among those who have long observed that the Chinese have to have that economic performance to maintain their control. They may, by turning to nationalism, prop themselves up, I guess, a bit. But is there really a threat? You've written about this for many years now, but a real threat that the Chinese Communist Party's lack of legitimacy will ultimately result in, I don't know, revolution of some kind inside China?
I think that there will be. We see more in terms of defiance of the state online. There are more and more voices that are calling for an open political system, which are completely inconsistent with the Communist Party's view of the world. The Chinese political system has become much more repressive. Matter of fact, there is less room now for political speech than there was in the late 1980s. Also, there are more and more protests from what we can see as ordinary citizens, not revolutionaries, not dissidents, but ordinary citizens take to the streets to complain about a whole range of issues such as clean air and such as the environment, like location of chemical plants and those things. And that's, I think, an indication that people are starting to lose their fear of the Communist Party and certainly their respect. This is a process which, as Hoppe said, takes place out of sight of foreigners, but nonetheless occurs as people become more defiant. And I think we are starting to see some signs of that in China as well. But the point is that right now, everything is going sideways for the Communist Party, and we're seeing that they have trouble managing this.
Gordon, let me ask you about this other part of your portfolio. You've been, of course, following closely, among other things, in your book, Nuclear Showdown, the emergence of North Korea as a nuclear power, despite the deal that it made with Bill Clinton and others back in 1994. The latest test has had certain seismic repercussions, shall we say. Talk about how the region looks afterwards and what it means for us as you see it.
Last week, North Korea detonated a device. The North Koreans claim it was a hydrogen bomb. That's probably not right, but we don't know yet. I actually think that it's more ominous for us if it were a normal atomic bomb. And the reason is I think that they are getting to the point where they are perfecting a warhead, a small one, which they can put on their KN-08 missile. This KN-08, in all probability, and according to the Pentagon, can reach the west coast of the United States. It's not their longest-range missile. Their longest-range missile is the Taipodong. But the Taipodong is not a real weapon because it takes weeks to transport, assemble, fuel, and test. But the KN-08 is mobile. It's on a launcher that the Chinese provided them. It can hide and shoot. It's very difficult for us to target. And now we know that it can reach cities like Seattle, Portland, and the northern part of California. This occurred in this sale of the launchers occurred probably in the Obama administration. But, you know, North Korea made great strides unimpeded in the Bush administration as well. So we're looking at essentially three administrations of bipartisan universal failure when it comes to North Korea. And now that those guys can land a missile in the United States, probably with a nuclear warhead, we are seeing the consequences of bad policy.
We fear, for all of these reasons, that the chickens may indeed be coming home to roost on those bad policies. Gordon Chang, your counsel on both those failures, the warnings of them, has been deeply appreciated, as is your counsel to all of us as to what we do about that. We'll be talking more about that with you in the weeks to come, I'm sure. In the meantime, thank you very much for your time today and for joining us throughout the previous years, and we look forward to it often in 2016. We look forward to talking to you all tomorrow. Again, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.